ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text Number 2. We are continuing from yesterday's discussion. So we will chant once together, responsibly, and then I will let you chant. So. Dharma projito kaita votram paramo paramo nirmatsanam satam.
Dharma projito kaita votra paramo
nirmatsanam satam.
Dham pastava matra vasva shivadam tapatayamu.
So, I'll let you chant now. Okay, so let's chant two more times together and then individually.
Projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayam mulanam shrimad bhagavate mahamuni krite kim vapara Sadhya Hidha Varudhya Teta Kutibhi Shushushukti Satshana Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Sata Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayam Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Vaparyaishvara Sadhya Vidya Varudhya Teta Kritibhi
Please chant. Maybe we can have kids chant.
Bhagavad Gita.
Right. So I will read translation, and then we'll continue with the purport from the point where we stopped yesterday, since half was already read yesterday. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And we are continuing on the... Yeah, you're on the right spot. Nothing is apart from the substance, but at the same time, the energies are different from the substance. This conception is not contradictory. Srimad Bhagavatam explicitly promulgates this simultaneously one and different philosophy of the Vedanta Sutra, which begins with the Janmadi Asya Sutra. This knowledge that the energy of the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord is an answer to the mental speculators. To the mental speculators' attempt to establish the energy as the absolute. When this knowledge is factually understood, one sees the conceptions of monism and dualism to be imperfect. Development of this transcendental consciousness, grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different, leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from the threefold miseries. The threefold miseries are those miseries which arise from the mind and body, those miseries inflicted by other living beings, and those miseries arising from natural catastrophes over which one has no control. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee unto the Absolute Person. The devotee is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute and at the same time in the eternal position of servant to the Absolute. In the material conception, one falsely thinks himself the Lord of all he surveys, and therefore he is always troubled by the threefold miseries of life. But as soon as one comes to know his real position as transcendental servant, he at once becomes free from all miseries. As long as the living entity is trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of his becoming servant of the Supreme. Service to the Lord is rendered in pure consciousness of one's spiritual identity. By service, one is immediately freed from material encumbrances. Over and above this, Srimad Bhagavatam is personal commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Sri Vyasadeva. It was written in the maturity of his spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. Sri Vyasadeva is the authorized incarnation of Narayan, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is no question as to his authority. He is the author of all other Vedic literatures, yet he recommends the study of Srimad Bhagavatam above all others. In other Puranas, there are different methods set forth by which one can worship the demigods, but in the Bhagavatam, only the Supreme Lord is mentioned. The Supreme Lord is the total body, and the demigods are the different parts of that body. Consequently, by worshiping the Supreme Lord, one does not need to worship the demigods. The Supreme Lord becomes fixed in the heart of the devotee immediately. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended the Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana and distinguishes it from all other Puranas. The proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. One particular word is used herein for proper guidance. This word is shushushu. One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. Less fortunate persons are not at all interested in hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam. The process is simple, but the application is difficult. Unfortunate people find enough time to hear idle social and political conversations, but when invited to attend a meeting of devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant. Sometimes professional readers of the Bhagavatam immediately plunge into the confidential topics of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which they seemingly interpret as a sex literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning. Those who are fit to assimilate this work are mentioned in this shloka. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. The intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa simply by agreeing to receive this message. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. The beautiful Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva is sufficient in itself for God's realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Om Gyana Timirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litam Yena Taismai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhya Kripa Sinubheva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavedo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. So wonderful verse, lots of important points here, but I selected three particular points that I would like to focus on this morning. So, since we have limited time, I will try to cover as much as possible. So the first thing that we are noticing here, it is explained that Srimad Bhagavatam is sufficient in itself for God realization. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely points out actually in the preface of this first canto. And he's saying that the proper way to approach is actually to start from the beginning, you know, first canto, and then gradually progress. And he explains that, you know, sometimes people are too eager to jump to the 10th canto, to direct pastimes of the Lord. But without properly going through all first nine cantos, one cannot be properly prepared to understand the confidential pastimes of the Lord. So he said that Bhagavatam is arranged in such a way that one is sure to become God-realized soul at the end of finishing the first nine cantos. And then 10th canto comes like you know, cherry on the cake. It's just you know, becomes even more sweet after we have proper understanding of the first nine cantos. So in this Bhagavatam we find two conversations going on parallel. Does anybody know who is speaking to who? And there is two dialogues going on parallel. Yes, Gaurachand Prabhu. That's correct. Thank you. So, you know, as we go through these wonderful readings, we sometimes may be confused who is actually speaking. But it's important to understand that there is two dialogues going on simultaneously. And who can tell me how many verses, how many shlokas is in Bhagavatam? Any of the kids? Do you know? By chance? If not, you can just give a guess. It doesn't have to be. Just, you know, to see if you're close enough. It's in thousands, by the way. Yeah, Prabhu. How much? 8? You are getting close. A little bit higher. Yes. 18,000. Good job. Good job. So that is correct. So 18,000 shlokas. Can you imagine that? And so as we know, Shukadeva Goswami, he spoke that to Maharaj Parikshit just shortly before he was about to leave his body. And then later on, as the great sages were assembled in Naimisharanya, then Suta Goswami, he repeated that just by memory. Can you imagine? Like 18,000 shlokas he just spoke. So, of course, we are not, you know, that fortunate to have that kind of brain capacity, but we are fortunate enough that we have the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and we have these wonderful books due to his mercy. So the second point we have here that is very, very important, it is explained, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee unto the Absolute Person. And I would like to kind of like highlight this Absolute Person. So it's not like some energy, it's not some, you know, mystical light in the universe. But it's specifically, you know, if you look back to the first shloka of the Bhagavatam, it is said, you know, pretty much every other sentence says, unto him, I worship him, he is the absolute truth. So it is clearly defined that it's actually person that we are surrendering to. So, the devotee is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute and at the same time in eternal position of servant. And then it says, as long as the living entity is trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of him of his becoming servant of the Supreme. But as soon as he comes to know his real position, he at once becomes free from threefold miseries. Does anybody know what the threefold miseries are? Miseries that are created by Gauri Shankar Prabhu? Miseries created by others, miseries created by non-conductors, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the mind, yes. So yeah, basically we can see there is miseries created by the natural disaster, like we have recently seen a huge hurricane, you know, destroy Bahamas. So that is one misery. Then we can see, you know, miseries created by other living entities, like you walking, and then all of a sudden you get fire ants, you know, biting you, which is not fun in Florida. And then miseries created by our own mind, which is also very, very troublesome. And we may think like, how can mind do that to us? You know, are we not in control? But, you know, I don't know if you have seen, but recently I was going on a japa walk and I saw one of my neighbors and he's talking to himself. You know, clearly there was nobody around. But he's having conversation. With who? With his mind. So that is another kind of misery, because the mind will tell us all kind of garbage. He will tell us, you are like this, you are like that. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? They said this about you and la 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 la. And just keeps going on and going. And therefore devotee has solution to that, and he can clearly stop that by process of chanting the holy names. So now you all heard there is a saying, don't judge the book by the cover. Did you ever wonder why people say that? I was thinking about that, but my guess would be because sometimes the cover is not as pretty as what's inside the book. But in the case of Bhagavatam, it's all perfect. It's all wonderful. Have you ever looked at the picture? What's on the Bhagavatam? Does anybody know what's on this picture? It's a Goloka Vrindavan. I have a little PowerPoint presentation, and I kind of want to share with you a couple of slides, since we have a few more minutes. And I kind of wanted to just briefly go over this. As I was, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you know, I would get the book from the library, and the first thing I would look is, I would look at the end. You know, I would look at the biography of the author. You know, I wanted to know who wrote it, you know, what was their life. What, how did that person live their life? And then I would look at the cover and, you know, everything else in between, see if there's any pictures. And then I would start reading. So it just kind of habit. So again, you know, I started reading this writing on the cover itself. And I don't know if you read this, but it's a wonderful, because it explains pretty much how all this, you know, creation is coming to play. Prabhupada goes on step by step, very nicely. So I have a couple of slides, and I will just briefly touch, there is a kind of like eight bullet points. And Prabhupada is saying, and pretty much describing the picture on this cover. So he's saying, the original spiritual planet, which resembles the world of huge lotus flower, is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is the abode of Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Let's go number two. Yeah. So this is Goloka Vrindavan. And then he goes on to say, the original planet Goloka throws off spiritual ray of effulgence called Brahmajyoti, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalist. So you can see all around, that's the effulgence. And then he said, within this unlimited Brahmajyoti, there are unlimited numbers of spiritual planets. So all these little, they look like bubbles, they're actually spiritual planets, Vaikuntha Lokas. And then he said, the Lord is known there as Narayan, and the planets are known as Vaikunthas. And then he said, sometimes a spiritual cloud overtakes a corner of the spiritual sky, and the covered portion is called the Mahatattva. The Lord then, by his portion as Mahavishnu, lies down in the water within the Mahatattva. Let's go to slide number three. Mahavishnu. And then the water is called the causal ocean. And then point number five. As he sleeps within the causal ocean, innumerable universes are generated with his breathing. These floating universes are scattered all over the causal ocean. They stay during a breath of Mahavishnu. Let's go number four. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and lies there on Garbha ocean, on the serpentine Shesha incarnation. From his navel abdomen sprouts a lotus stem, and on the lotus, Brahma, the Lord of the universe, is born. Brahma creates all living beings of different shapes in terms of desires within the universe. He also creates the sun, moon, and other demigods. Let's go to number five. So this is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and you can see the where Lord Brahma is residing. And then he, Prabhupada goes on and said, the sun is situated almost in the center of each and every universe, and it distributes profuse light and heat all over the universe. There are millions and billions of suns in all the millions and billions of universes within the Mahatattva. The suns and moons are required within the universes because they are dark by nature. The Vedas instruct us to go out of the dark universes and reach the glowing effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. Let's go, number six. So here you can see pretty much the material universe, lower planetary system, middle, and then higher planetary systems. And we are in the middle. And then Prabhupada said, the Brahma Jyoti is due to the illuminating Vaikuntha planets, which need no sun or moon or power of electricity. Isn't it wonderful? You know, you don't have to worry if you're going to lose power during storm. It's always, you know, beautiful. And then it's explained here, it says, let's go number eight, Prabhuji. Bhagavatam is like a light in the age of Kali. Let's go next one. Mm-hmm. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, and so on. Persons who have lost their vision because of the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali will get light from this Purana. And to conclusion, Prabhupada here writes, Srimad Bhagavatam helps us reach the supreme planet Goloka Vrindavan. Let's go to the next slide, Prabhuji. Yes. So, Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to reach the supreme planet Goloka Vrindavan. And Prabhupada then says something really, really nice that kind of caught my attention and made me read all this. Prabhupada said, the door is open for everyone. Me and you. So the door is open for everyone. Human life is meant for this particular aim, for it is the highest perfection. Highest perfection. And then let's go to the next one, which is my last slide. And does anyone know who is on this photo? Who? Thank you. Gopal Kumar. So, I'll let you watch this beautiful photo while I say a few more things, and then I will tell you why I chose this slide. So, the last point that I kind of wanted to focus in today's verse, in the proper Prabhupada speaks that he said, the proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. Challenging attitude cannot help. So, you all heard, maybe not, but I'll tell you the story anyway. One time, Narada Muni, he was going to visit the Lord. And as he was traveling through the village, he saw one Brahmana. And Brahmana said, my dear Narada, where are you going? And Narada said, oh, I'm going to see Lord Narayan. And Brahmana said, really? And he said, yeah. So Brahmana said, when you arrive, would you please ask when I will be delivered? And Narada Muni said, of course, I'll do anything for you, my dear Brahmana. And as he continued walking, later on he met one simple village man, Kalgar, who was working in his shop repairing the shoes. And similar exchange took place, and the cobbler said similar question, basically, would you please ask, my dear Lord, when will I be delivered? Please, Narada. So Narada goes on chanting, you know, singing, playing his veena, traveling through the universe, and he finally arrives to the Vaikuntha. He meets Lord Narayan, and he tells him about his travels. And then as he was about to depart, he said, my dear Lord, while I was traveling on the way to your abode, I met these two devotees of yours. And they had a question. They said they wanted me to inquire when they will be delivered and when they will come back to your abode. And Lord Narayan thought for a moment, in the case of Brahmana, and he said, I'm not sure when the Brahmana will come. Tell him I did not know. And Narada Muni kind of looked a little bit concerned, but he didn't question anything. He accepted the Lord's, comment. But he said, but what about the other village man? And Lord Narayan said, for him, tell he will be delivered after this lifetime. So Narada Muni was all perplexed, you know, how is it so? You know, Brahmana is so learned, and he's studying the Vedas every day, and he's not coming to the Lord after this life. But, you know, anyhow, Narada Muni, he came back to the planet Earth, and as he was walking through the village, he saw the Brahmana first. And Brahmana, when he saw Narada Muni, he said, oh, Narada Muni, welcome back. How is the Lord? What is he? Okay, by the way, I forgot one crucial point. Before Narada departed back to the earth, the Lord told him, when you see these two devotees, if they ask you what I was doing, tell them I was taking the elephant through the eye of the needle. I stole this from my wife. Don't tell her. I chose the biggest needle just to show you how... You see how big is the eye of the needle? And have you ever seen the elephant in Mayapur, how huge they are? So naturally, I wouldn't say naturally, but this Brahmana, he said, oh, Narada, did you really go to spiritual world? Why would Lord be taking elephant through the eye of the needle? Come on. So Narada didn't really answer anything, but he understood that this man does not have a faith. And he continued walking. And then he met the other village man, and similar exchange took place. And Narada said, the Lord is taking elephant through the eye of the needle. And this cobbler, he said, so wonderful, the Lord is so wonderful. And Narada looked in amazement. How is he so faithful that he believes that? And he asked this simple village man, do you really believe that? And he said, of course, why not? And Narada said, why do you think the Lord can do that? And the village man, who was really simple man, he wasn't really, philosophical, or he wasn't a great scholar. He said, my dear Narada, look at this huge banyan tree. You know, I sit here every day and I observe this. Just see if the Lord can place, and you see all these little seeds that came down from the tree. He said, if the Lord can place this huge banyan tree in the little seed, then of course he can take the elephant through the eye of the needle. That's not difficult for him. So I wanted to share this story, and I'm sure you heard it before. But the moral of the story is that we do have to have a faith in the words of our spiritual master, because there will be occasions where we may not philosophically understand why certain things take place or why certain things happen. But if we have a strong faith and we follow the instructions of our spiritual masters, eventually we will come to the point later on where that understanding will be revealed in our heart. I know we are running out of time, but I wanted to just for 1 minute, and then I let you go, tell you about this photo. This is Gopak Kumar, and basically, as we were reading in this purport, it is said that as long as living entities trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of his becoming servant of the Supreme. So, in the case of Gopak Kumar, we understand that the Lord was actually looking lifetime after lifetime to deliver him. And then finally, when he came to the spiritual world, there was a very beautiful exchange that took place between the Lord and Gopak Kumar. And it goes like this. The Supreme Lord said, "Welcome, welcome, my dear boy. I'm fortunate, most fortunate to meet you here. For so long, I have been eager to see you." The Lord, and then he said, "My dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all. For so long, hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking perhaps in this lifetime, or this one, he will finally turn his face toward me. But I could not find no pretext on which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I myself have created." Now, when the Lord is saying, basically, "I could not find pretext on which to bring you to my abode and still follow the timeless law that I established myself," do you know what he's talking about? He's basically saying that he does not want to interfere in the independent desire of the living entity. So as long as we have desire to control and enjoy this material world, the Lord is, he would love to for us to come back to him, but he actually established that rule himself, that he will give us that freedom to decide. And then the Lord is saying, "You show me no mercy. And as I have considered this, I grew impatient, full of anxiety to receive your favor. So I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth. Dear boy, in that divine district of Govardhan, my most beloved abode, I myself became your guru, known by the name Jayanta. Today you have at last fulfilled the desire I have harbored for so long. Please nourish your happiness and mine by staying here forever." So, I'll end on that note. thank you so much. If anybody would like to say something, any questions, comments, critics, please do. Yes, Prabhu.
In the sloka it says, Mahamuni Krite, refer to Vyasdev, who compiled this Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is everything. But yet, you are giving the last part. It is not part of Bhagavatam. It is Brihad Bhagavatam Mito, which Vyasdev did not touch. How to understand?
I don't know.
You understand my question?
Not really, to be honest.
The Srimad Bhagavatam is complete.
Okay.
God realization, end of nine.
Kyanto, you say one will be.
But
yes.
One will be realized. And then Kyanto is.
Top of the ice cream.
Yes.
Analogy. Okay. Very nice. So
my question is, okay, Bhagavatam gives everything. But the
presentation you made it very nice. I like it. Really like it. Brihad Bhagavatam is not written by Vyasdev.
Mm-hmm.
It was never
written by any sages. Only Mahamunu's
associate Sanatana Goswami.
So ultimate our destiny that displayed two ways. That concept.
But those two are from real
Bhagavatam,
not from Bhagavatam.
So how to
understand?
I have some idea, but I want to hear from you.
Well, the only thought that comes to my mind is that Brihad Bhagavatamrita was spoken to Mother Uttara by Maharaj Parikshit,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So Maharaj Parikshit, he summarized all the wonderful information that he heard from Shukadeva Goswami in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and kind of gave the essence of the Bhagavatam in Bhagavatamrita to his mother. So my only thought is that as the result, Bhagavatamrita is kind of like the product of that sweetness and exchange. But I'm actually curious to hear your comment, Prabhuji.
I was emphasizing on Mahaprabhu's position.
Okay.
Mahaprabhu would not come.
Okay.
The Bhagavatam, we would not have any access of ultimate goal in that pure form. So it is
Mahaprabhu's contribution as
Prabhu,
I think last year or year before,
forgot. He gave a class, he was saying that why Prabhupada choose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita, not completing Bhagavatam, in 74 and 75 beginning Prabhupada started. And one point he made so good, it stuck with me. He said that because Bhagavatam depicts the
importance of
ultimate goal and how to achieve it. But who is demonstrating that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself with his associate. So Prabhupada is so merciful, he wanted to give us that. You know, he was also concerned about how long he will be alive. So he gave importance to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a demonstration of Bhagavatam. So it is Bhagavatam, Brihad Bhagavatam, but in a that angle. I thought it was very nice. So many angles to look at it. But you gave also Mother Uttarajan at the moment of death. She even said, Parikshit Maharaj says, at the moment of death one should be little silent, quiet, because death, 7 days is past, Sukhdev Goswami left. But you are crying, your question is so attractive. Maybe I'll focus on that. I'll give you narrative. And she was a very humble lady. She said, I'm a woman, I could not understand what Sukhdev Goswami gave for 7 days. Can you make it something easy for me to grasp? So the appeal, like I feel like, you know, we feel like that too. Like, I don't understand Bhagavatam. Can I get it like a little easy way to get it? So Brihad Bhagavatam with Mahaprabhu's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy, you hit the point, was nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, I think we will end here. Thank you all very much. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.